Hello, and welcome to Eyes on Success, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpey and Peter Torpey.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete. If you have struggled using Facebook with a screen reader, you'll want to hear this week's show.
We'll speak with Matt King, a member of the accessibility engineering team at Facebook, and he will describe many tips and hotkeys for using Facebook more efficiently, especially if you use a screen reader. And later on in the show, he will be describing and demonstrating an exciting new feature of Facebook launching this week to help make photos more accessible to people with vision loss. But first, for our tip of the week. This week's tip comes from Matt King.
I have two tips for people who use the Facebook app on the iPhone. The first one is that when you're scrolling through your newsfeed and you're doing right clicks to go to the next story, and you come across a story that you want to like or react to in some other way, like wow or ha-ha, you can get to those reactions and other actions now with the actions rotor. So previously, you had to do the two-finger double tap, otherwise known as magic tap, and that would bring up the menu with all the different things that you can do with the story. But some people would run into issues like that might start playing their music instead or do something like that. So we're implementing support for the rotor. It's already there. And you can just flick down and go through the different types of actions that you can perform on a story, including react. Then if you choose the activate item from the rotor and you double tap on the story and you go in and you are reading the story and say you decide that you want to love that story instead of just like it, you can do the voiceover equivalent of a long press on the like button. Now, there is a voiceover hint that tells you that, but if you don't have hints turned on, which I think most voiceover users turn them off, then they might not be aware that if you double tap and hold on the like button, it will bring up all the other reactions that are available.
Facebook is continually working on improving accessibility with their various products. And we'll be talking a little bit more with Matt later on about both the desktop and mobile versions of Facebook to get you working a little bit more efficiently.
And that pair of tips he just gave you should whet your appetite for a whole passel of tips that he'll be giving later on in the show.
Support for Eyes on Success is provided by
Mystic Access, providing assistive technology audio tutorials and trainings designed to empower and motivate. Products are created by the blind for the blind. More information available at mysticaccess.com, where the magic is in learning.
And by
eSight, maker of digital eyewear designed to help improve vision for people with low vision and legal blindness. The technology can be used to read, see faces, and explore the world. More information is available at eSighteyewear.com. Let's start by meeting Matt King and learning about the accessibility team at Facebook before we follow with learning about all of the wonderful things that they've done.
My name is Matt King, and I have been working in accessibility as an accessibility Facebook within accessibility engineering since last June.
And you're a programmer, I take it.
I have done a fair amount of programming in my day, but right now I am not writing any code for the Facebook products. I'm mostly showing the engineers at Facebook how they need to change their code, and I let them take care of all the challenges of getting that code actually into the product.
And you're visually impaired yourself so that you can run it with a screen reader and know what's going on.
Yes, I have been using screen readers since 1986.
And what was the cause of your blindness? How long have you been visually impaired?
Yeah, I have retinitis pigmentosa, And when I was growing up and all the way through my teenage years, I could see pretty well. I was never able to get a driver's license. My older brother got one. He has RP as well. But I never could see that well. I was riding a bicycle, and I was crazy enough to ride a motorcycle within the confines, or I should say mostly within the confines of the property that I grew up on. We had about 20 acres. Yeah, it was kind of crazy, but it was also a lot of fun.
And in next week's show, we'll hear about some of Matt's other bicycling experiences. You introduced yourself as an accessibility specialist at Facebook. Can you talk a little bit about how many people work in accessibility and what the mission of that group would be?
Absolutely. So we have a core team of accessibility specialists in engineering. At this point in time, I think on our core team, we have 8 or 10 people. And then we also have quite a large extended team of people who work on accessibility but are distributed across the organization. So there are, for example, people within data science, design, product operations, quality assurance, and so forth.
But it must be interesting in a large corporation how a small team has to sort of know what many other teams are doing very different things, and trying to teach them about accessibility and get them to integrate accessibility into the new features that they're developing. Does that work pretty smoothly, or is that a struggle sometimes?
One of the beautiful things about working at Facebook is that you can literally see what everybody's doing at any time. It's a very, very open culture. You look up anybody, their internal profile, and you can see all the tasks that they're working on within our task tool, all the code that they've written through our tool called Fabricator. And, you know, I can comment on, test anybody's work on any product very easily at any time. So it's such an open environment that is really powerful for those of us that are working on accessibility. It's also a culture where ownership of accessibility by the individual product teams is relatively easy to achieve. When I sit down with engineers from a product team and help them understand where corrections need to be made, or exactly what to change in their code, which components to use, or how to modify those components, they pick up on it very quickly and assume ownership readily. And that culture of ownership and responsibility is just, it's amazing to see it at work. It's really inspiring.
So that sounds like it makes it relatively easy to integrate accessibility into these new features right at the beginning, rather than trying to tack on some accessibility features later on.
Absolutely.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. 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 Success.
This week's focus topic is tips for how you can successfully interact with Facebook using a screen reader, and also a demonstration of Facebook's exciting new feature launching this week to help make photographs more accessible to people with vision loss.
So being a visually impaired employee of Facebook, I guess, as you said, this gives you plenty of opportunity to give some feedback on how Facebook works with screen readers and for people with vision impairments. And, you know, I've often had difficulty myself with Facebook, at least a while ago, but I understand there's some improvements these days in terms of navigating with a screen reader. Do you have any special tips for people, or, you know, methods they can apply to navigating the Facebook UI?
I certainly do. It depends a lot on what device, platform, screen reader, browser you're using. So I think where people probably struggle the most is with the desktop browsers, but Overall, we have, I think, done a lot to improve the experience for all users, regardless of what platform they're using.
Can you review some of the advice you have for people who are trying to use Facebook with a desktop browser?
Some examples of things that can make it a little bit easier in the desktop browsers are we have heading navigation built into the news feed. Every story starts with a heading level 5. Comments will be preceded by heading level 6 that says comments. And we also have article markup, which currently the only screen reader that really supports that is JAWS. But each story is wrapped in an article. So you'll hear story article at the beginning of the story and then story article end at the end of the story. We also have that kind of markup around the comments as well, which is really nice. So if you're reading a comment and you want to just jump to the next comment and you're using JAWS, you can press the R quick key. And there's a third way to move around within news feed that some people find really helpful, and that is to use the Facebook keys that were not actually originally designed for screen reader users, but are pretty handy for screen reader users. And that's J for jumping to the next story and K to go back to the previous story. L will like, P will post, Q will jump to the search, and C will comment, so forth. So those keys are available to everybody. They're a little bit trickier to use, though, if you're reading with a screen reader, because, of course, those keys do other things within the screen reader, like, you know, K going to link with NVDA, or L to a list, or P to the next paragraph in JAWS, Q to the main content, and so forth. So if you press J, you're going to, with JAWS, get the jump-to-line dialog, of course.
So how do you get around having the same keys serve multiple functions?
We can work around that in two different ways. One way is to simply turn off the virtual cursor if you're using JAWS, or turn off browse mode and go into focus mode if you're using NVDA. That'd be insert Z with JAWS, or NVDA plus space with NVDA. Or if you're using VoiceOver, you can turn off quick nav mode. And then J will jump to the next story.
So I suppose that works, but that sounds like a bit of a bother sometimes.
If you don't want to be toggling cursor all the time, both Window Eyes and JAWS have features for being able to use those keys directly within while the virtual cursor or reading cursor is still active. And that feature is called Web Application Reserve Keystrokes. You can turn that on, and it will actually change what those keys do when you're in Facebook.
Well, that sounds like another nice option for people.
So I'm curious. You mentioned that the L key will let you like something, but Facebook recently made a lot of publicity about expanding the reaction so you can love it, you can be shocked, you can say wow. Do you have opportunities for accessing those reactions?
Not directly with those keys. You can definitely do that with the keyboard, though, and we made sure that works. So if you tab to where the like button would be, what is actually going to happen is it'll open something that's called the reactions dock. Basically, it's the row of icons, the little faces with expressions, and of course they're all labeled. And if you're using JAWS or NVDA or VoiceOver, you'll hear that those are read out as toggle buttons. And you can, if you're sighted and using the keyboard, you'll see that just pressing the right arrow will move across to the different ones, and you can press space or enter, and it'll select that reaction. That also works with the screen reader. If you're in focus mode or JAWS forms mode, and you press the right arrow or left arrow, it'll move through the different reactions, and you can toggle it.
And if you haven't seen these new reactions, whereas like was a thumbs up, these new reactions are all very cute little faces.
So you talked a bit about how to navigate the Facebook interface with primarily Windows, with JAWS, NVDA, and Window Eyes. What about on the Mac? Are there any special keystrokes or functionality using Safari on the Mac that one ought to know about?
So the keys are all the same. It's just that, of course, on the Mac, you have to turn quick nav mode off if you have it enabled, if you're going to use JK. I would say most of the time on the Mac, though, I use heading navigation. I find it works extremely well. But if I want to plow through a lot of stories really fast on the Mac, the J key is pretty useful because it automatically reads a certain portion of the story to you, and it tells me whether or not it's enough of the story for me to know whether or not I want to dig in deeper.
I was wondering how you would compare the experience with using Facebook on a desktop computer with something like Internet Explorer or Chrome or Safari versus the mobile experience. For myself, I found using an iPhone with the Facebook app seems to be a lot more simple, a lot less cluttered, easy to get around. I'm wondering what comments you might have on that.
I wholeheartedly agree with that, and there are several reasons for that. One, of course, is just the nature of the mobile device. It creates a simpler experience. You have to make things simpler in order to get onto that small screen, and so things have to be more focused. Another reason is the Facebook mobile apps were developed after the accessibility team was formed at Facebook. They didn't even exist before the accessibility team. So that created a tremendous opportunity to get accessibility right from the beginning. Whereas the desktop, in addition to being substantially more complex, both in terms of the type of user interface components are there and the things that you can do and the number of functions that are available, but also in the way that you have to code things in order to make sure that they work across browsers and screen readers. And it's a much less controlled environment. So on top of that complexity, you have the fact that a lot of that code has been around for a long time before there was an accessibility team, which really just started in 2011.
It's tough dealing with legacy code.
Absolutely. So those are some of the reasons why you're finding the mobile experience to be that much simpler. And in general, I would say just more relaxing and enjoyable.
I find using Facebook on a mobile device, whether it's with the app or even in a browser, to be more relaxing and enjoyable, and I can see.
I would say even though I have a Bluetooth keyboard for my iPhone, I still don't enjoy editing and writing a significant amount of content on my iPhone just because of the way the editing works on the phone.
Yes, there are certainly some trade-offs there between using the desktop and the mobile devices.
Yeah.
In our correspondence setting up this interview, you indicated that Facebook has a new feature that you'll be launching. Can you give us a demonstration of that?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is our automatic alt text feature for helping people who are blind experience the photos that are in their feed in a richer way. And what we're doing here is using the object recognition capabilities of artificial intelligence to generate alt text for the photos. And I have a couple examples here where we pulled public posts from my newsfeed into a demonstration page just to give people a flavor of what this can do. So I'm currently in this a story, and I'm going to have a voiceover read where it is right now.
Link, Clara Valenstein, heading level 5 is in the voiceover cursor.
Okay, so we're on the beginning of the story that's posted by Clara Valenstein. And I'm going to go forward through the timestamp and then to what Clara wrote about the photo that she posted.
Link, February 26th at 12:52 p.m. Button. Sunday night splurge.
So that's what Clara wrote about her photo, Sunday night splurge. And for myself, if the next thing that it read was the default alt text, which is Clara Valenstein's photo, I would say this story would mean nothing at all to me personally. I would just skip on by it. But instead of hearing Clara Valenstein's photo, What we're going to hear next is this.
Link, image. Image may contain pizza, food.
So now, I know that the way Clara likes to splurge on a Sunday is with pizza. I don't know what kind of pizza it is. For people who can see the photo, it contains olives and pepperoni. And someday our system may be good enough to recognize all of that. But at this point in time, we are very confident that it was pizza. So now this story, which was before just what I would call a throwaway story, I think I got about 80% of the meaning out of it that a sighted user would have got out of it. I'll do a couple more examples here. So I'm going to jump to the next story by pressing the 5 key.
Heading level 5, link, Clara Valenstein. Link, February 26 at 12:51 p.m. Button, link, celebrations. Happy it's Thursday.
She says, happy is Thursday, which tells me literally nothing at all about the photo. Tells me something about her mood. Instead of hearing Clara Valenstein's photo, we get...
Link, image. Image may contain three people smiling outdoor.
So here, it's telling me at least I know what's going on a little bit, right? That there are some people, they appear to be happy in their outdoors. It actually turns out that the photo is of the people sitting at a table, they're enjoying drinks. The system may have recognized some of those concepts, but it wasn't adequately confident in them for us to communicate all of it. So we're filtering out things where the degree of confidence that we have in what's in the photo has to be pretty high for it to be part of the automatic alt text. We really want people to trust what's in automatic alt text, because if they don't trust it, they could start ignoring it. But the other thing that could happen, of course, is that they could slip up and do something embarrassing or make a mistake. So we'll do one more here.
Heading level 5, link, Clara Valenstein, link, February 26 at 12:51 p.m. Button, Alaskan vacation has officially started.
So I don't know. Are they in the airport? Are they walking down the street in a city, maybe Anchorage or something like that? Let's find out.
Link, image. Image may contain mountain, sky, outdoor, one or more people, nature.
And it is of a couple hiking in the mountains. But here I got a concept of what's going on. Now you heard it say one or more people. There are two people in the photo, but because of the nature of the photo, it was a little bit harder for the system to recognize that there were actually two people.
I can see this photo, and I would give your system a lot of credit for what it did, because the second person is wearing a green jacket that's a similar color to the surrounding terrain and has their legs together and a hiking stick stuck out. And if you were to just outline that shape, it's not obviously a human, although, you know, our visual system is good enough that we can figure it out.
Yeah, those are all really good points. You're pointing out exactly why it's so hard and so why it made a guess there. And obviously, over time, we're hoping that it would be good enough to be as good as you at figuring out what's in that picture. But again, we're just at the beginning of a long path, hopefully not too long, but a path toward being able to get as much information out of the picture as somebody who can see it. And of course, we don't want to include all of that information in the automatic alt text, right? That would make for a pretty unwieldy long description. You don't want a book. You want to call out what's most important. And that's another part of it. And then, of course, you would like to be able to put it into a narrative that makes sense, like two people hiking in the mountains. And that requires another kind of artificial intelligence, natural language processing, and putting those two together to construct that narrative.
Now, I noticed that this seemed to work pretty seamlessly. You didn't have to hit any special keys or perform any special functions to get the image to speak.
That's correct. It's just included in the alt text for the image. And the alt text is constructed dynamically.
What improvements do you envision in the future?
Another thing that's on the horizon, and there's already experimentation going on in this space, is the ability to ask the system questions about the photo. So we could ask, how many trees are in the picture, or what is the person wearing, what color is their hair, or whatever interests you about that particular description and what you want to find out, and have the system respond to you and give that kind of information. The technology to do that is also not that far off in the future.
Wow, great.
That's really impressive.
Now for this week's final item, how to get more information, including a complete list of all the available keyboard shortcuts, and how to contact Facebook's accessibility team if you have further questions or suggestions.
So we talked about a lot of hotkeys and ways you can navigate Facebook with a screen reader. Where can people find support material or resources on the web, documentation on these features?
The best place to go is facebook.com/help/accessibility. And there we have descriptions of particular accessibility features. We also describe things like the heading structure on the page and the landmarks if people find that helpful. And there's a contact form. So if there's something that you're having difficulty with, or something that you really like and you want to tell us about it, or something that you would really like to have and you want to tell us about that, as long as that thing has something to do with Facebook products, we're very happy to hear about it. So just let us know. We love getting feedback. It helps us understand our users better, helps us understand what you like and don't like, and we pay a lot of attention to it.
Well, great. This was very informative, and I'm sure will be very useful to people who have had some reticence about using Facebook, plus some of these new features are pretty exciting also.
You're very welcome.
And as usual, if you're looking for the links to some of the resources Matt mentioned, or you want to get in touch with them, go to our show notes to find all of that information at www.eyesonsuccess.net.
That's it for show number 1615. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking with Matt King again, but this time about his experiences racing a tandem bicycle. And what a thrilling experience he had. In the process, he set a world speed record and participated in 3 consecutive Paralympic Games. So come back next week. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net or call us at 585-210-8094.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman-Torpey and Peter Torpey, and distributed by WXXI Reach Out Radio. Browse the full archive of programs, find instructions for subscribing to the podcasts, and much more at www.eyesonsuccess.net. You can also find us on iTunes, follow us on Facebook and on audioboom.com, at Eyes on Success, or Twitter at @_EyesOnSuccess. We hope you will join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Eyes on Success, and have a nice day.